Ladies and gentlemen, Texans and Tejanos, you are tuned to the show that talks the talk and walks the walk. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, Texas senators speak truth on border and Operation Lone Star in a Texas Senate committee hearing. Senator Perry says we're not having an impact while spending billions. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. You truckers and fleet owners, they're your best friend in being your third-party administrator with a clearinghouse you fleet owners have to have for your drivers now at the DOT and drivers. Of course, you know about your annual tests and all that stuff. They'll help you with that. They're fantastic. AlliedCompliance.com is how you find them. Coming up also, our good friend at the Institute for Policy Innovation, Dr. Merrill Matthews, on government employment versus private sector, or really, where have all the state and local government workers gone? It's really a surprising statistic. We talk a little bit about gasoline prices, refining, and the Biden administration as well. And also, my friends, I should have up today, tonight, or tomorrow, a podcast extra with Merrill Matthews, where we do about a quarter of an hour straight on welfare reform. The issue, the Democrats have whittled it all down to nothing again, and there are people beginning to push forward to go back to work requirements that worked so well, they were so effective. And we do that as a podcast extra interview. My friends, you can listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Just get the podcast of the show and long-form interviews like this interview with Dr. Matthews, a podcast extra at prattontexas.com. Just go there and go to our podcast page. Will Governor Abbott actually work the legislature, like a governor should do, for the tax relief he's out saying he's for? Or will it just be another of his big things I'm for, but behind the scenes, completely hands off until, of course, the legislature, if they get it done and credit time rolls around, he takes credit. This is a real problem for the legislature, and Abbott is privately very unpopular because he'll come out and even put stuff on the emergency agenda, and then he does very little, he and his staff, to work things through the legislature, and it's as if he doesn't know how it works, and probably doesn't, because he was a judge. He never worked in it. This has been a complaint since the day he became the first session with him being governor. Legislators, including senators and state reps from across the state, will tell me off the record privately, and some of them will go into great detail how the governor goes to the public, says I'm for all this stuff, and then they do very little to nothing to actually work the issue in the session. And so we'll see. I mean, it's great to hear Governor Abbott talking about serious tax relief. So we'll talk about that. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Burton ISD employee's been arrested. Amy Krueger Joswak, I don't know, KBTX reporting out of Bryan. She's an administrative assistant in public education information management systems coordinator. I think that's computer coordinator. Oh, for the PEAMS, she does the PEAMS stuff for Burton ISD. PEAMS is a state reporting system. According to court documents, staff member discovered over $4,000 of fraudulent charges in her own personal bank account in February. Anyway, they've indicted this other woman that she worked with for, I guess, stealing from the co-worker. And she was arrested this past Sunday. They don't know if this woman handled money for the school district, but an investigation is certainly underway. This person, according to KBTX, that was doing the stealing, earned $10,000 a year more than the colleague she's accused of stealing from. Now, that doesn't surprise me. When people decide that they can steal, those things don't matter. You know, this is a fantasy, this, oh, I only stole a crust of bread to eat. Certainly that's true in history and has happened and everything, but the left tries to use that all the time. Oh, they're just, you know, we're not going to prosecute, even when they bust in a store and steal a bunch of televisions and stuff. If it's under X amount, we're just not going to prosecute. I mean, these people are just victims of white oppression over the, you know, their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers and whatever, anyway. Yeah, most of these folks that do the stealing, they just, the moral compass is broken. Trial scheduled for East Texas school principal accused of impeding child sex abuse investigation. Hayden Sparks at the Texan tells us that the elementary school teacher in Palestine will have the trial start in August on official oppression charges and evidence tampering stemming from allegations she impeded an investigation into suspected sexual abuse of children. We've reported on this case when the arrest was made. Kimberlyn Snyder, she's a principal at Neches Elementary School, is indicted by an Anderson County grand jury on 5 misdemeanor counts of official oppression, 1 count of tampering or fabricating evidence with intent to impair a third-degree felony. A man in Bryan, KBDX, tells us he's accused of a businessman there, accused of using fireworks to start at least 4 grass fires in the city in the final week of June. Apparently, they've arrested this William Garrett Spangler, 35, on 4 counts of arson, which is extraordinarily serious. They had video from various places that showed him going out to areas where there were dry areas and throwing fireworks into them to start fires. Cops found human skeleton and, well, I'll just put it this way. Be careful where you go for a 4th of July or coming up Labor Day, you know, Socialist Day or whatever, cookouts and backyard barbecues. Cops find human skeleton in Houston family's barbecue pit. KHOU broke the story. Remains were discovered by a person claiming to be working at the home. Discovered a skeleton about 3 o'clock yesterday. That's strange. Oh, and there's new information out today from the National Transportation Safety Board. Preliminary investigative results on that. Remember where we were told the father and his 13-year-old were driving the pickup, and they're the ones that, and the 13-year-old was driving, and they veered into the lane and killed all those people from New Mexico, the golf teams, you know, from, oh my gosh, here in West Texas. NTSB says the 13-year-old wasn't driving. They say the father was driving the truck and had methamphetamine in his system. So think about this. All these people could say, oh, drugs, they'll let people to drugs. No, somebody, he was then not only that, apparently willing to, you know, ruin, you know, use his 13-year-old, used to excuse his own behavior, claim the 13-year-old had been driving. And everybody was, what in the world are you letting a 13-year-old? Well, 13-year-olds, some can be good drivers. It was, but that's the new news, that the father was driving and had meth in his system, and that terribly, just disastrous, fatal accident, or maybe, you know, whatever. Oh boy, which way to go? Today in Texas history, 1805, Charlotte Allen was born. She's known as the Mother of Houston. They bought the land along Buffalo Bayou and established the town down there. It was our capital for a while in the swamp. In 1879, on 14 July, the state of Texas authorized selling state land for 50 cents an acre to reduce public debt and pay into the permanent school fund. That act was repealed in 1883 due to fraudulent speculation in the land. And this is the day in 1938 when Howard Hughes and a 4-man crew landed their specially equipped Lockheed 14 in New York City, having circled the globe in 3 days, 19 hours, and 17 minutes. They cut in half Charles Lindbergh's record of crossing the Atlantic. Of course, Howard Hughes, the great Howard Hughes, is born in Houston, inherited the family money, but then kept making it. And the Hughes Tool Company and all of that. He died in 1976 on a plane from Acapulco, Mexico to Houston. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, security, surveillance, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and much more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. All right, my friends, we've got much more, including a little bit on that leaked video of the Uvalde massacre ahead. This is Pratt on Texas.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2-ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Plan to join me for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon at LubbockSportsman.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stCenturyWatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stCenturyWatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Joining the late William F. Buckley, standing athwart history and yelling, "Stop!" It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I called it shameful and all kinds of other things, disgusting, the leaking of the video before the families had seen it by the Austin American Statesman and KVUE television. And there's a good lesson from this. When people see things, people think that, you know, this whole thing, seeing is believing. Of course, if you've ever made video or movies and you know about camera angles and depth and all of those things, you learn that almost anything can be changed to look like something else. But people have this idea, seeing is believing, and they don't know the context. And that was one of the terrible reasons that this video, for it to be released before these families were able to see it with the experts, where all the context can be given in private, so they knew what they were seeing. And the whole country, you know, all over the world, people went nuts after this video's out, and they're all watching it. And you people who ought to know better. Zach Despard at the Texas Tribune has a big piece out here talking about how media organizations and social media users were up in arms over an image pulled from the video posted by the Austin American Statesman and KVUE-TV that showed a policeman glancing at his phone as the shooter in two adjoining classrooms just down the hall was killing children and teachers with a semi-automatic rifle. Terrence Carroll, former Speaker of the Colorado House of Representatives, wrote in a tweet, "This really makes my blood boil. This officer's checking his phone while kids and teachers are literally dying a few doors down." Then you had a whole bunch of weird people looking at the screen graphics, something to do with a Marvel Comics vigilante, and tearing him up saying he's got a lock screen at the Punisher logo, but he's too scared to take on an active shooter, and on and on and on. And these people just are beating this guy up to what they don't know. This is the problem with no context. When people think, "Well, I'm saying I know what," you don't know the context. Everybody in Uvalde knows who this was. It was Officer Ruben Ruiz, whose wife, Ava Morales, lay dying inside one of the classrooms with the gunman. Ruiz Morales told him, her husband, in a phone call, she had been shot. He was standing in the hallway with his pistol drawn, unable to get to her. Other police then, immediately because he was involved, they disarmed Officer Ruiz and removed him from the scene. I reported on that way back in the beginning. She was alive when police transported her from the classroom. She died before reaching the hospital. He'd been talking to his dying wife in the room. Wasn't a cop sitting there playing on the phone while the killing was going on. It was his wife. This is why this kind of thing, there are times when the media must release things. When government or someone's hiding something or power is being abused. That's not the case here. They were going to meet with the families. The House committee was going to meet with everyone, do the full investigation privately with them, show them the deal, give them full context, then release it. And hopefully they're going to release it to the media with context as well, instead of just dumping it out there, because this is what you get when you just dump things out there. And that's not the only thing. There's more. Representative Joe Moody, Democrat of El Paso, on the committee, said he wasn't going to make any public comment until the report's finished, but He said, I couldn't say nothing seeing this man who's lost everything maligned as if he were indifferent or actively malicious. Context matters. To those who haven't bothered to read even the news that's been reported in your rush to judgment, he attempted to engage but was removed from the building and disarmed. We'll have more to say about the police response, but no criticism of this officer. And there's more stuff that the people online have tried to make a big deal about. And second part, of, it just goes on. But they didn't necessarily know the context. Doesn't mean that there's nothing to criticize. There's a lot to criticize. But this is why you don't do this kind of thing in such a thing like this as without context. All right, my friends, let's talk about the governor. He's been out speaking. Of course, he's got a big race going on. He's got to take on the fake Hispanic, Robert Francis O'Rourke, the scion of the privileged and wealthy family from El Paso, who's never had any kind of real jobs that we can call real jobs. Oh, that's right. They did websites. Yeah, go look who the customers were, though. Most of it plugged in stuff in local government. Anyway, Beto's out there, so Abbott's out getting coverage for here's the headline at the Center Square, story by Bethany Blankley. Abbott pledges, quote, very large property tax cut coming, end quote, next session. Said, we ought to expect big property tax. And the only way to do this, the state doesn't levy a property tax, is to buy down school property taxes. And we know that today, I didn't even look, that Comptroller, we already know that Comptroller Hager is going to release a revised revenue report with tons more money, and there's a bunch of these spenders are salivating over it. The fact is, it's our money. It needs to go back to us, especially as we enter recession. So, he's talking about a big tax cut, and there's a lot more in this story. There was a really good piece out from Vance Ginn, our friend Vance, chief economist at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, saying we appreciate how Governor Abbott's making property tax cuts a priority for Texans. There's an historic opportunity to substantially lower property tax bills while funding core services next session if state and local governments practice fiscal prudence and use surplus funds to reduce M&O, the maintenance and operation property taxes, meaning for school districts. This will make taxpayers a priority given the affordability crisis affecting Texans from irresponsible progressive policies by the federal and many local governments. And James Quintero, our other friend there at the TPPF, said Governor Abbott's right to call for a very large tax cut next session. Family budgets are under pressure and it goes on. And they talk about the history in this national piece at the, Bethany Blankley, the Center Square. Conservatives and the Republican Party of Texas have consistently called on a Republican-led legislature to pass meaningful property tax relief, which hasn't happened while Abbott's been in office. During the last session, the Republican-led House squashed a bill introduced by State Senator the House squashed a bill introduced by State Senator Paul Bettencourt and Representative Tom Oliverson that would have cut property taxes. Their bill was based on the Texas Public Policy Foundation's Lower Taxes, Better Taxes plan, crafted by our friend Vance Ginn. Ginn wrote that the taxes can be eliminated, property taxes as a whole can be eliminated over time by using excess state revenue to pay down local school taxes. Public school district taxes constitute by far the largest portion of property tax bills in the state, and if we adopted a new structure, it would move us incrementally to getting rid of this stuff, maybe as soon as 2033, maybe even sooner. Ginn was quoted saying, I welcome his pledge. Oh, I just read you that from another piece. Abbott's campaigns publicized the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which links to a 2018 document. In the last two decades, property taxes have increased 200%. That means local government taxes. The state does not levy them, and the state has bought down property taxes during that time. So it's local spending out of control. And his plan, the governor has capped property tax revenue growth and all bunch of stuff. O'Rourke says that the reason property taxes have gone up, even though, of course, they're all levied locally, none of them are levied by the state, is because Governor Abbott's let corporations manipulate the appraisal process and shift the burden of billions of dollars onto the rest of us. That's just absolute hokum. I mean, absolute hokum. If you know anything about property taxes, you know that non-homestead is the real problem. Businesses are paying through the nose. They don't have any of the protections. I know many of you say, what protections? Well, you have some. The commercial stuff doesn't have any. The real question on all this, as I already mentioned at the top of the show, and I don't need to go into other detail on except to keep you apprised and up to date, Abbott has a history of announcing big things, even putting them on the emergency agenda, and then the legislators behind the scenes, they're trying to work out compromise. It's just a shut door. They don't know what he's going to support or not support, which is death. It can be death, the legislation. Abbott's people just don't know how to work with the legislature or purposely choose not to until, of course, something good comes out and then he loves to take credit for it. The question is, will he really work this property tax buy-down? Let's hope he will. Back in a moment.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Laugh if you must, but friends know that I had a hard time finding words to express how positive my experience was going to the dentist. Not just any dentist, but Dr. Sylvia Suniga of Dental Care. Money matters too, and it cost us less than half of my lowest quote at home to visit Dr. Suniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica. That included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and a private driver, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. In fact, I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years. The work was the best I've ever had, the attention to detail more than you'll get here. If you have expensive dental challenges or just need crowns or cosmetic work or implants, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Suniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Listening to Pratt should be required for all politicians and students. Remember, the learning never stops. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. We always enjoy having Dr. Merrill Matthews with us. He's the resident scholar at the Institute for Policy Innovation. You can find them at ipi.org, and his Policy Bites pieces are always good fun. And I had to call Dr. Matthews when he came up with this short one because it just made me laugh. The headline was, "Where Have All the Government Workers Gone?" And he began it, "What do you call it when hundreds of thousands of government jobs have been vacated since the beginning of the pandemic and no one's willing to fill them? A good start." Well, that's a good start to a short column, Dr. Matthews. Outline this for us, though, because there is an interesting set of numbers out there.
Right. Yes, Robert. The Bureau of Labor Statistics recently released its jobs report, and it found that the private sector workforce, those who are working for private sector companies and so forth, that's been increasing, and in fact, it's come back to pre-pandemic levels. In fact, just a little bit above pre-pandemic levels from February 19, 2020. But government workers, it's finding that there's 664,000 fewer government workers. Now, most of those are at the state and local level, but I looked at that and thought, my goodness, that over 500,000 government workers have not returned to work or have vacated a job or something. We're not entirely sure what, but some states and local governments are saving some money now because they aren't having to pay as many people.
Well, and it's probably good for us all. However, we do have to look at the situation and realize that there is such, at least for now, until we flop fully into recession, there is such a demand for labor that sadly, you know, it's these jobs in government we need. Prison guards, people like that, you know, where we just, we're short of staff. I think Texas, what, last week, no more admissions in the state juvenile jail system because there's not enough staff available, right, even with having given big pay increases. And of course, you understand this, that what always happens when we have a really booming economy, and this happened before the pandemic when Trump was president, you know, government workers, the types of government workers we really need more than paper pushers, people who do real things, we tend to lose those in a booming economy to better opportunities. But as soon as an economy turns around, those are the jobs people want and they go grab because there's a sense of more safety and security in those jobs as far as employment goes. And that's really a conundrum for local governments and state governments, because you always push the pay up and then later you find yourself in a, sometimes in a very long period of time where those jobs are actually overpaying compared to the market. Any thoughts on that?
It was an interesting point because they reported today that unemployment, first-time unemployment claims actually were higher than what the economists had anticipated, indicating that there are some layoffs out there. And as you say, as you tend to move into a recession and a down economy, people oftentimes are willing to go to work for the government. However, of course, right now we've got an awful lot of jobs that are unfilled out there.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if this follows the same pattern. And of course, your point's important, which is the private sector can offer and has offered additional pay increases during this time. But when you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, their data from through March 22 is that government employees, and they're looking at state and local government workers, are actually making more in wages and more in benefits. And that's been true for a while than the private sector. It may be that people just don't want to go to work for the government in many cases because they feel like there's real chances of opportunities and other things out there. The ability to be able to rise.
The piece you had about government workers there at IPI.org, where have all the government workers gone? This graph you have is very important because we hear this. Well, they're all leaving teaching. They're leaving this and that because the pay is better elsewhere. Actually, the data shows exactly what you said, that state and local government workers, total compensation is much higher, wages and salaries is much higher, and total benefits is much higher, almost double the private sector. So there's a little bit of fallacy in this idea, but I think a lot of these government jobs that pay more tend to be these jobs that are what we would call, well, I don't know what if they're what you would call them, quasi-white collar. I don't know. Are they bureaucratic jobs? All I'm saying is that it's great to have fewer government jobs because these agencies can punish us less. But then again, there are government employment situations like prison guards and folks like that that do things in police that we really, really need out there. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword when you they tend to have the best recruiting when the economy's slow. And in the other hand, they you know, in the other times they don't. But it is interesting that there's always this call when the economy's booming, we got to pay the public sector employees more. But if you look at the statistics, it's pretty clear they're paid more already in all three areas: compensation, wages, and salary. You know, total compensation, wages, and salaries, and total benefits.
And they tend to be heavily unionized, and also they tend to be very hard to fire. I had Representative Beth Van Dyne talking the other day, and she was complaining about the problem of when she was regional head over the Department of Education under Ben Carson in the Trump administration. And she said the problem was you had these people there who are working and you can't fire them. They can produce nothing. They can be problematic and other things, but you can't get rid of them.
Right.
So those are the ones that tend to hang on.
And that goes back to the Civil Service Act, you know, back when everything was a political appointment, you know, across the government. And there was so much abuse of that. We went too far the other way. And now you've got a permanent bureaucracy that's sitting there insulated from what they should be insulated, you know, from threat of losing a job if you don't perform. Very quickly, Dr. Matthews, you had another piece. Biden finds yet another industry to blame for high gasoline prices. You ended it with Biden can rail about high gas prices all he wants, but there are reasons why gasoline costs so much right now, and many of those reasons point to him. And I would say Democrats as well, and Democrat policy for the last many, many years, especially going back to the beginning of the Obama administration.
That's absolutely right. Of course, he canceled the Keystone XL pipeline his first day in office. He has been complaining about pipelines. He has been complaining about refineries. He's been complaining about the retail gasoline stations, which tend to make very little, you know, they make a small amount of profit off the sale of gasoline, but it's not huge. They're having to pay higher prices as it's coming to them. The Biden administration and the progressives that support him have done everything they can to kill the fossil fuel industry, and now that they're succeeding in doing that, they're complaining because gasoline prices are going up. And, you know, Robert, the big issue here is Democrats and progressives for some time have said, we've got to move to renewable energy. It means higher gasoline prices. Let's impose higher taxes on gasoline and so forth. Now that we have higher prices on gasoline, they find out the public doesn't want it, and the public's liable to throw them out of office because of it.
And if you actually read their strategist, you know, I hesitate to call them thinkers, but this is their plan. I mean, the only problem they've got with the high prices is the political price they may pay because it may slow the revolution. I mean, that's seriously, if exactly they right. openly talk about it. Biden told us in the campaign they want higher prices. All these people he's put in power have written pieces and given speeches about how we need gasoline to cost even much more than it does now. Because they want to force us into, don't believe renewable energy. It's not renewable number two, but really what they want is mass transit and less freedom. But one of the big issues, and we only have just about 20 seconds here, but refining capacity. We've actually grown as a country, but we have less refining capacity now. What's up with that?
That's right. Yes, we've grown as a country, but we've got two new refineries online, but a larger one has shut down, and a lot of this has to do with the regulations. As they shut down during the pandemic, many of them it's just not economic to start back up, given the regulations that Washington's imposing on them. And so we're near full capacity in our refining.
Oh, it's just shocking how bad it gets and how much it's hurting our friends and neighbors and ourselves and our pocketbooks. Dr. Merrill Matthews with the Institute for Policy Innovation. Thanks a lot, Doctor.
Thank you.
More Texas political and news analysis without a management muzzle in a moment.
There is a delicious treasure in Abilene not to be missed. It's Bell's Chicken Dinner House, where homemade, fresh, mouthwatering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls, and unbeatable homemade desserts are created for your dining pleasure. Bell's Chicken Dinner House, an Abilene treasure, is open to serve you lunch and dinner Thursday through Saturday and open Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch. Enjoy Bell's Chicken Dinner House Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
General Manager Jimmy Rogers invites you to experience the best in dining at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse, where in addition to the best steaks and seafood, they have the largest French wine selection in Lubbock. Las Brisas is a rare Best of Award of Excellence winner from Wine Spectator. Spirits aficionados will find a large, special collection of cognac, bourbon, scotch, and other whiskeys, many of which are in the very rare category. Plan a great evening at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse soon.
Bulletin from Allied Compliance Services. The Federal Motor Carrier Administration has established a CDL driver's drug and alcohol clearinghouse, and your CDL drivers must register their individual accounts. Owner-operators, set Allied Compliance Services as your third-party administrator. Employers may manage their own clearinghouse account, and Allied Compliance Services can assist you with management. Set Allied Compliance Services as your TPA and notify Allied. Learn more at AlliedCompliance.com. AlliedCompliance.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Texas political swami. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. There was a really good piece by Sidney Henry at the Texas Scorecard covering something it seemed like most people didn't cover. The Texas Senate Finance Committee met to discuss the current appropriations to border security efforts, including Operation Lone Star, Abbott's big, you know, look-at-me chest-thumping program. And this in the Texas Scorecard, the headline, Texas Senators Weigh Options for Battling Border Crisis. And the chairman of the committee is State Senator Joan Huffman. And she said securing our international borders is a federal responsibility. Right, we all know that. She said the states don't have the resources to take on 100% of the security needs of the border indefinitely. But until the Fed steps up to ensure long-term security, we have a duty to act to support effective border security to combat illegal immigration and foster lawful immigration. Now, the story reads in part, although Abbott has been asked to declare an invasion under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution and turn back illegal border crossers, he stopped short of doing so in his recent executive order. By the way, Goliad County has now officially, their commissioners have voted to ratify an invasion declaration along with a few others. That story out at the Epoch Times. Sarah Hicks, senior advisor and budget director for the governor's office, explained to the committee that the situation on the border only continues to worsen despite Texas' efforts as the federal government continues to ignore the crisis. Well, bingo, if you people in the governor's office can recognize that spending $6 billion of our money hasn't improved the situation at all, what? Tell me this isn't just campaigning using our money by Abbott. Quote, the governor's own woman there from the budget office that does the budget stuff said that the situation continues to worsen despite our efforts as the feds ignore the crisis. According to Senator Huffman, Texas taxpayers have already put in nearly $6.5 billion over the last four biennium, 8 years for border security efforts. Of that $6.5 billion, most of it, more than $4 billion, has been appropriated just in the last 2 years since Biden took office. State Senator John Whitmire, Dean of the Senate, Democrat, old-fashioned style Democrat, one of the few left out of Houston, said we can't spend our way out of this. He says we got to do something else, a diplomatic, humanitarian approach, something. Can't just write another billion-dollar check. And my state senator and the state senator for many of you, all you folks in Abilene, Lubbock, and a lot of West Texas, Senator Charles Perry, echoed Whitmire's monetary concerns. He's also echoing Pratt on Texas. And frankly, there's an interview with him posted. I don't know if that's last year or sometime, maybe back in the winter where we talked about this, and he said it clearly. He said, look, this isn't working. We're not getting anything for our money. It's one of the podcasts. Go look for it at prattontexas.com. Go to the podcast page. He'd been watching it. Doesn't take a genius to figure it out. Senator Perry was quoted as saying, we can't keep doing what we're doing, which is basically Operation Lone Star and Abbott's, get on Fox News and chest thump stuff because it doesn't work. We can't keep doing what we're doing because if we're not detaining, in other words, if we're not taking these illegal aliens and detaining them, and if we're not shipping them back, we're not getting the job done. Bingo, it's what I've been saying from the beginning. Get over the chest thumping and all that, Governor, and wake up to the fact that you're not being a Republican when you're willing to waste $4 billion of our money accomplishing nothing except making you look tough for a GOP presidential primary. Senator Perry went on to say, and I think any honest assessment from the people that are in the boots on the ground would admit we're not really having an impact. Folks, in the last 10 days, I've had story after story, not even had time to bring but one or two of them to you, of these massive crossings. One made a lot of the other news aggregators where they filmed them, a group of 300 or something coming over at once, and they're all coming over right in the spot where Operation Lone Star was set up. And it's supposed to be the most mature and has some razor wire and all this other stuff going on. It doesn't work. It's not that we're against border security. We want effective border security. Real Republicans want limited government, but what government does spend our money on, we want it to be effective and efficient. This is $4 billion right now from this latest move of campaign donations to Greg Abbott for a national position. I'm sorry, but that's all you can come up. Look, because if it were real, I'm not saying he started. He could have started it and saw this and done this, and then that didn't work, and then do this and change this and do, you know, and admit it doesn't work and change it up. No. They pretend. They keep sending out all these press releases telling you all these people they've arrested. Of course, what they don't tell you is how many of those people are actually retained a few weeks later. Nobody. And what's done with them? Are they deported or any? No. They're just handed right over to the Border Patrol for catch and release. State Senator Julianne of McAllen, right on the border, said the amount of money we're spending on border security and the amount of people coming across is like a bottomless pit. He's right on both sides of it. It's not. I'm all for $10 billion if it were effective. If we were stopping it and the numbers were retarding greatly, really slowing down, and we were seeing that we are indeed, you know, remember Abbott's the one that said, oh, we put these troops out there and that'll deter them. And then they just walked right across. And what did our troops do? Helped them through the razor wire. See, we're not it was Abbott's contention that all this Operation Lone Star and the show of force would diminish, the word would get out, word ain't got out, nothing. He's just got more boots on the ground to help us cross the river and get us out and rescue us if we get in trouble. That's a fact. It may sound mean, but it's a fact. And a real leader who's a conservative would look at facts and not act like a Democrat where the goals of the program always make it worthwhile, even if it's a complete abject failure. It just goes on. And boy, Hinojosa is right. The Operation Lone Star is only securing a little bitty portion of the border, supposedly, the way it's set up. He said it'd take $17 billion to do the 805 miles. It's just shocking to me. And the Democrats on the border know it's a problem. State Senator Cesar Blanco of El Paso said ranchers have spent thousands fixing fences, vehicles, and property damages. Coyotes corral illegals through private land and into the state. They all know it's a problem. Said Senator Perry, wouldn't be a bad idea. Senator Perry asked DPS's head McCraw what an offensive strategy would look like in the situation, saying, I'm tired of just stopping the conversation with it's a federal problem. It cost us a lot of money. What does that look like in your mind as a commander of the people we depend on to protect the border? McCraw said in the absence of federal policy changes is really between the ports of entry is infrastructure. I'm at the riverbank and all that. Additionally recommended anyone caught trespassing on private property be arrested and prosecuted for criminal mischief. Again, this is what they're already doing. It doesn't work. He said, we've lost the battle. We haven't lost the war, said McCraw. Well, there's another thing the governor's been unwilling to try. He loves to sort of make it look like it so he gets a lot more good national publicity from the quick sound bites and people that don't really know what's going on. But to actually do it, to actually put us in a position with the federal government, an adversarial position, which is natural. That's what, you know, the Supreme Court exists to arbitrate between states and the federal government. And that is to invoke the invasion clause of the Constitution that is invocable by states. Now, look, yeah, all the left and the D.C. made, they're all going to say, oh, it's not. They mean a military invasion, blah, blah. But that's sort of like the left that says your right to bear arms was only for the militia and stuff. Like, come on. These are just wordplay games. Governor Abbott, if you really want to lead, let's declare an invasion and let's actually physically repel people who come across the border and start doing it by the thousands and thousands and thousands. Then the spending of our money's worth it. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos, and try to stay cool.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.